can I get everybody's names and titles, please?
Debbie White, and I'm the Area Debt Advice Coordinator at the Salvation Army.
I'm Paul DeWeard, and I'm a Volunteer Debt Advisor.
Yeah, I'm Wes Taylor. I'm also a Volunteer Debt Advisor.
This week is Debt Awareness Week. It marks Debt Awareness Week. What is Debt Awareness Week?
So Debt Awareness Week is to raise the profile of debt and how it impacts us individually. It's important to say it's not something that we should view as being a stigma. Very much it affects how we are, our mental health. And it's important to just understand, and particularly that's why we're here today, is to say what is out there for the community, particularly in the Isle of Man, being in an unregulated area regarding debt advice. So it's really important to share where you can get help and advice and guidance.
Right. Now, Paul, I know we've spoken, we as a group, we've sat and spoken about this previously. Year on year, we do these interviews. Year on year, do you see more and more people coming for advice or for help?
We see a steady and continuing flow of people. I think there's better awareness in the community that help is available, which is really good. But it's one of those things where, because people's lives change and circumstances change for them, there will be a point in people's lives, for many people, where they need help and they need advice. So we have to be there for them when that point comes for them.
And Wes, I understand you're one of the newer volunteers to the group. How's it been for you, you know, in terms of assisting other people, giving that advice, things like that?
No, it's been very, very interesting. I've come from a background in banking and in charity work as well. So seeing it from a different aspect, it's very interesting, and it's nice to know that we're able to help people.
And in terms of people that's being helped, you know, would you guys have stats of how many people it's been that's been approaching the organisation?
Yeah, we have. Every year we do some stats which are for the Salvation Army. At the moment, at the end of December last year, and we always take a sort of a snapshot as where we were at. At the end of 2024, we were supporting 193 adults throughout the year with £364,000 worth, just over, of debt. In 2025, we supported 280 adults with £1.286 million, so almost 1.3 million of debt. That's a huge, huge jump. I need to clarify that there are some mortgages in there that are in arrears, and we're working with clients who are trying to navigate that. And so thank you to the creditors who are working with us. We did do some stats about sort of the average of where we're at the moment. So on average, clients are around about £20,000 worth of debt for each client. There'll be people who are less and some that are much more because of the mortgages and other debts that they've got. So it's quite an interesting thing, particularly when Paul and I, when we first opened the debt advice service in September 2020, remember COVID times? and the first year we had, I think it was £100,000 worth of debt, I think, in that year. And we thought, wow, gosh, that's a lot. And now we're at 1.3, and it's even more than that at the minute. We're at 2.2 million at today. There are specific cases that will change in the cases because of what's going on, which obviously I can't say here. That's a lot of money when people say there's no debt problems on the island. We're here to support, to give guidance, give signposting. And I think what Paul was saying there about actually, you know, there's lots of other things on the island that, you know, will help us towards our money problems. Things like the Olio app, you know, food bank. You know, Olio is done because of it's actually anti-food waste. It's not about your need. So, you know, if you see stuff, if that's something for you, go. I'm signed up for it, and I even got some free ink for my printer, which I use for work. It was great. I was so impressed. So it's actually anti-waste, not putting stuff in the bin. So yeah, there's lots out there.
If I can just touch on one of the points you mentioned, you said, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you said, is it this year that we're sitting at 2.2 million in debt?
Yes.
With the current cases that you're working with?
Yeah.
That's, so 5 years ago it was 100,000, 2024, 364,000, last year 1.2 and this year 2.2. Would any of you like to see, you know, how worrying is that, that you're seeing that increase?
Yeah, I think for us, obviously the 2.2 is as at today, so March. And there are always things in cases where we have to consider. There's sometimes court orders which we have to take because of the advice we're giving. We are regulated. We have compliance officers who make sure that the advice we're giving is correct. So everything's got to be noted, so that the advice we're giving can be, you know, used against what's on the case. But yeah, I think as we're getting more and more, I think we're five and a half years of providing debt advice on the island, we're seeing more and more of people in trouble. Some of it, and I was talking to the guys downstairs as we were in the purple room, I think we'll call it, the green room, that actually there's things like Temu, you know, that are trying to sell to you all the time. So I've actually self-confessed the guys this morning. I put my order in. That's not a recommendation, everybody. but it is that constant pushing notifications. I've got an iWatch on my hand, you know, so I've actually got something that's constantly buzzing at me. And so if you're not resilient, suddenly those offers to buy are taken up in our lack of resilience, or it might be a time where we're feeling particularly vulnerable. And, you know, we can be vulnerable for all sorts of reasons. And it could be that it's Friday night and I deserve something. so it's just actually looking at how we manage our budget. And it's those sorts of things that then creep into new habits, which means that then there's more and more need. So I think we are finding a lot more of that. Mental health is a big thing. People, job losses, those sorts of things, and also relationship issues as well. You know, you don't see them coming. You sign up to a contract, and then you haven't got the dual income coming into the household. So it can be a challenge for people.
Before we go on to mental health and onto the debt advice service, Wes, if I can come to you, as a banker yourself, you know, Debbie spoke about a budget, keeping a budget, sticking to a budget, and also, you know, those little pleasures that we all look for, those little temptations. Because you've got a background in banking, you know, can you tell us about budgeting? How important is budgeting? What have you seen over the years?
It's very, very important. I mean, everybody thinks budgeting for businesses and banks and everything is through their budget, but it really comes down to the individual. I lost my wife last year, so I've had to redo my budget. My income has reduced, obviously, but I still have a lot of the same expenses, which I have to fulfill. And I think it's very important, literally, to put it down on paper, because sometimes if you don't put it down on paper, things get lost. You know, you forget about, oh, yes, my insurance on my car. Oh, yes, oh, my insurance, you know, for something else. But if you were to actually sit down and put it down, what your income, what you think your income will be and what your expenses are, it can be a bit of a shock. Maybe think, oh crumbs, I can't do this, I can't do that. But I think budgeting as well, that if you want to go on holiday, well, you have to put some money away to go on holiday. Or if you can't, well, unfortunately, perhaps, you know, you won't be able to go on holiday this year. But I think it's very, very important for the individual to take, you know, on things like that. I think it's very important.
Right now, Paul, you run the debt advice service. No, you run the budgeting course.
Yeah, I'm one of the people who front up and talk on the budgeting course, and it's a great experience. It's great fun to do because you're always hearing different people's stories and different perspectives. I share some of my own good and bad budgeting decisions. Like the one of the worst was also one of the best. Once upon a time, I bought a bright green suit under electric light, and I'm colorblind. I was wearing it when I met the woman who's now my wife, and I think she married me out of pity mainly. So there are always things like that in people's lives where they can reflect on, I made a good decision there, I made a bad decision there. That help people to, as we share, people get a different perspective on their own experience and they understand that their experience is valid for other people too. That means that when we get down to the mechanics of recording what your outgoings are, recording what your income is, the whole thing's a lot less painful because you're doing it for a reason that you understand and it makes sense.
And, you know, from speaking to people, have you picked up any trends, any spending trends or any habits that people have mentioned?
I think there are always new ways that firms try to persuade us to part with our money. I mean, it's what commercial businesses are there for. So you have to accept that when something different is available, marketing departments will want to take advantage of that and you'll be, have it pushed at you. Certainly the buy now, pay later has left a few people in trouble because they've signed up to it without really considering what the implications are if they don't pay on time. And when you look at some of the interest rates that buy now, pay later charge, it can be high 30s%. It is a scary number. I see in the UK they're now starting to look at actually regulating that type of credit along with other forms of credit. And I hope that's something that will be copied here.
Debbie or Wes, would you all like to add on to any of what Paul said?
Yeah, I think for me, the overdrafts, they're generally at 30%. So when Paul's saying about the buy now, pay later, which is what your overdraft is, isn't it? Is I'm buying it now and I'll worry about how I pay it later. And having been in banking most of my life, you know, the overdraft was supposed to be something you just dipped into just before payday because of something came left field. It was perhaps your car needed servicing or you need a new tire or something. But actually what we're seeing now through the service is on the credit searches that we do is that there's a consistent overdraft which is not moving, and it's an expensive, a really, really expensive way of borrowing from your bank. It's actually better for you to go back to your bank and say, right, okay, you know, could you put that into a personal loan? It's suddenly under 10%. So there are ways of even if you can't, if your circumstances have changed and you're going to need that money, you know, you might need a little buffer, but the bank might then say, well, I'll reduce the overdraft, we'll put that into a proper loan. You're paying it down and the interest is reducing. And so that's a way forward. That's not debt advice. That's just money management. But that's what I see is a lot of overdrafts.
And I think a lot of people sometimes borrow money to pay off the borrowing. Mm. And it just exacerbates then. So you haven't got just one loan. You've got two loans and then three loans. Then all of a sudden it becomes totally unmanageable. And then you find yourself in a bit of an issue.
And just to add on to what you're saying there, and to continue Debbie's conversation about mental health then, because if you keep adding and adding and adding, you're putting more pressure and stress on yourself, and that can lead to, can that lead to some mental health issues?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I think from what we see in the centre, the people that we're supporting, there's the strain is huge out there. Both this week, last week was particularly difficult. This week has still not been a great week regarding mental health and the people that we're supporting. And there are people who are making decisions and making plans. And that's where the reliance on the mental health team is really, really critical. So those guys do an absolutely amazing job as they work with people who are in mental health crisis, the crisis line, all of those places that are government, you know, that people can go to. But there's also lots of charities out there that people can reach out. So I would say if you are feeling, you're listening to this and you're feeling, you know what, this is really not, I don't know what to do. Number one is reach out to the crisis line or a charity that you've heard of. Reach out to ourselves. We will never judge you. We have a thing on the wall that we have a statement on the wall by Maya Angelou, and which absolutely is, you know, we don't judge people. We sit here because it's just a set of circumstances that puts me in this seat compared to someone else.
So true. Paul, would you like to add on to any of that?
Well, there are Martin Lewis, who supports a charity which looks at issues around debt, and that has come up with figures which suggest that half of people who have mental health problems to start with will have a debt crisis at some point in their lives, compared to less than a tenth of other people. So it's mental health problems can be a trigger for debt crisis. They can make you more prone to it. And also, as Debbie has said previously, if you have debt problems, that's a cause of great stress and anxiety. So it's a two-way process. So probably half of the people who come to us have either got an underlying mental health problem that's contributed to their debt problem, or they have a debt problem that has then triggered issues around their mental health.
And, you know, we're speaking in what is Debt Advice Week. Is there any plans for any budget course-related meetings this week?
So we did. We had fantastic. Paul was going to be running a course with one of our other tutors. Derek was supposed to have started on the 2nd of March. However, we unfortunately had the bus strike. So we had to make the decision because we reliant on the bus service for both our volunteers and also the people coming. So we actually decided to cancel that budget course, unfortunately. We are doing those sessions one-to-one with people instead. In fact, I think these guys have got an appointment this afternoon with someone who was booked on the budget course. But we have plans to, so we always adjust what we do. We never stand still as a Salvation Army. We are always evolving to the community what they need. We are out of town, so therefore getting on a budget course and then you've got to pay money to get to us. So sometimes that can be a challenge. So we are going to be running budget courses in town. Paul spent time down in the library with Zoe, as has Derek and I think also Wes. Yes. And also one of our other volunteers, Nikki. So we're seeing people down there. They've found out more about the budget course. And so we're going to be running those after Easter. So watch our Facebook page for information. But we're going to be doing these tabletop sort of just-in-time subjects for about an hour and a half on a Saturday. And then we're probably going to do some of that in an evening as well, venue to be confirmed. So we'll just keep watching our Facebook page. And the things that we're going to cover are such as things like unemployment and redundancy. You don't see that coming sometimes. I remember working in London and, you know, 1st of January when we got back, or 2nd of January, the whole team next to me got made redundant. That was not expected, you know, so, and it was just after Christmas, was a bit of a shock. So these things come without us realising. Also students, how students can manage whilst they're off island, how we, you know, students in new part of their life, they're starting to grow their wings and, you know, do everything that you do at uni, but then you've got to learn to budget as well as cook and share a house with people rather than, you know, parents looking after you. So all of that sort of thing. Young families, summer activities, holidays, how you manage, you know, because that's the big thing, isn't it? Summer holidays. A lot of people worry about Christmas, but I worry more about half terms, end of terms and holidays, because children still need the entertainment. I think the last half term in February was probably quite difficult with the rain, so quite expensive. Pensioners, how to manage bills in the winter particularly. And single people, how to manage budgets as single people with one income, but the same costs as if there were two of you.
Well, on a related subject, I mean, without looking at the merits of the particular dispute around the bus service, I hope that the temporary absence of the service will encourage more imaginative approach on the island to helping people get access to buses and increasing the opportunities for people to travel around the island. So I hope that once the situation has stabilised and the service is back running normally, that there will be the opportunity taken to maximise the benefit from it. I think sometimes you don't appreciate the value of what you have until it's not there.
So to everyone that's listening to this, listening to this interview today, what would be that one piece of advice that you'd give them?
In a word, save. Because by having a rainy day fund, you are much less likely to need to borrow. You won't get a great return on your savings. It'll look really unimpressive. But when you think about how much you save not having to borrow, then suddenly those savings look really attractive. And I would say think about an account where there's a short notice period before you can make a withdrawal, so that if you have to wait, say, 7 days, if you are about to buy something fairly expensive on an impulse, you've got a week to think it over before you actually commit to it. So there we are. My one word advice to for people who are worried about their financial position, find a way to save.
Debbie?
I say, don't spend more than you have coming in. You know, that's the recipe for... I know it's difficult. Maybe you have kids who want toys or want to go somewhere, and it's very difficult to say no. But you've got to be very cognizant of the fact that you only have a pound coming in. You can't spend more than that pound. So I would make it that, say, do not spend more than you can.
That's a good, that's the best advice for me. And yourself, Debbie?
I would say if you're struggling with your bills and things aren't being paid at the end of the month, because, you know, we don't always have those direct debits going out at the same time, is actually consider opening a second bank account, transferring, get the bank to transfer all of those direct debits and standing orders into that account, transfer your money over, and then you know that your rent, your electric, your gas, everything is being paid. But also, a bit like Paul was saying there about the saving, go through all of your expenses, and there'll be things that you pay annually, such as kids' school uniform, there'll be annual insurance policies. Average that over the 12 months and put that extra money away into that bank account, so there'll always be that little bit of savings in there, so that if there is something that's urgent, you can actually get there. But you know that when that bill does come, you go, oh, that's that other bank account. I can pay my insurance, and I can pay it annually rather than paying it monthly, which costs more money.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.